Translation. Comes the thought, what is my duty now? The Supreme Lord, who knows his purpose. And then in brackets, paritranaya sadhanam vinasya saduskritam, will not give up his prowess. Devaki is a woman. She's my sister, and moreover, she's now pregnant. If I kill her, my reputation, opulence, and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. Purport. According to Vedic principles, a woman, a brahmana, an old man, a child, and a cow should never be killed. It appears that Kamsa, although a great enemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was aware of the Vedic culture and conscious of the fact that the soul transmigrates from one body to another, and that one suffers in the next life according to the karmas of his life, of this life. Therefore he was afraid of killing Devaki, since she was a woman. She was his sister, and she was pregnant. A kshatriya becomes famous by performing heroic acts, but what would be heroic about killing a woman who, while confined in his custody, was under his shelter? Therefore he did not want to act drastically by killing Devaki. Kamsa's enemy was within Devaki's womb, but killing an enemy in such a nescient state would not be an exhibition of prowess. According to kshatriya rules, an enemy should be fought face to face with proper weapons. Then if the enemy is killed, the victor becomes famous. Kamsa very conscientiously deliberated upon these facts and therefore refrained from killing Devaki, although he was completely confident that his enemy had already appeared within her womb. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyanana Salakaya Shakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Si Guruve Namaha Shitaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Kamsa certainly had no faith in the Supreme Lord. And Kamsa was certainly not acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. Kamsa was of the opinion that the Supreme Personality of Godhead could be killed. We see a similar description about Hiranyakasipu. When Hiranyakasipu was faced with the defeat of his brother, Hiranyaksha, he was considering that Vishnu had in a treacherous way killed his brother. And furthermore, after that he had gone into hiding. It was said that Vishnu was hiding in the hearts of the living beings. So, in this way, confirmed that he was indeed in hiding. So Kamsa took some fragments of scripture. Hiranyakasipu took some fragments of scripture and twisted them into his own concocted situation. The Lord was in hiding, in fear, because Vishnu, Hiranyakasipu continued, by nature should be in the neutral position. That is his duty. And Vishnu became partial. He became partial. And therefore he deviated from the law of the universe. So in this narrative about Hiranyakasipu, the law of the universe is more powerful than the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord can be defeated. He can be killed. He is powerful, absolutely, but he can be killed. Right? If, you know, that should be understood, you know. And in the same way, Kamsa was seeing the Lord as his enemy. And he was ready to kill him, although he was in great fear. Bayat Kamsa Dvesach Chedanayan Nipa. Kings like Shishupal, they were governed by envy, and Kamsa governed by fear. Fear personified. Kamsa was thinking that I kill him before he kills me. And he made so many arrangements. So he was thinking, Vishnu can be killed. So when Kamsa had some faith in the law of karma and in reincarnation, we understand that was due to the influence of the culture that he lived in. It shows actually the power of culture, and that culture has the power to curb the demoniac mentality, at least to a degree. And it shows that Kamsa was influenced by that culture, but we should understand, just like Hiranyakasipu, he's seeing there are just laws of nature. And Vishnu is also caught up in these laws. Right? It's nature that really rules. After all, a demon has faith in the material energy. A demon has faith in material existence and things that are the few problems here to be fixed. Like Hiranyakasipu, death was a problem. Let's fix that. Right. In the case of Kamsa, of course, okay, there was this curse on his head. You know, and some celestial voice had spoken that he would be killed. And now what to do? Devaki was piety personified. It is said that Devaki, it is said that through her the Supreme Lord appeared. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur made an interesting comment. He said that Bhaktir evainam. Bhaktir evarnam nayati bhaktir evainam darsayati. That where there is bhakti, the darshan of the Lord will follow. Bhakti will bring us to the darshan of the Lord, or make the appearance of the Lord happen. And since Devaki made the appearance of the Lord happen, therefore Devaki is to be seen like the incarnation of bhakti. She is bhakti personified. Therefore, her name is Devaki. She is divine. So she was all effulgent, and Kamsa was very cold in his calculations. He had no qualms about killing her. That was not a problem. He was ready for it. But he was considering, A, I will lose my social reputation, and that will not help me. Ultimately, you need the support of the people, so that will be a political problem. He was considering that. And then he took it a step further due to the influence of Vedic culture and saying, yes, but the law of karma also will kick in, and I will lose all my pious credits and so on. Right? So, in that way, Kamsa was somewhat restrained by Vedic culture. Of course, also by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, so that Krishna could appear, so that he waited for the the children to be born. He waited for Krishna to be born. And then some tricks could be applied. And then somehow or other, Kamsa could be fooled. It's a daughter. A daughter? How is it possible? It cannot be a daughter. I mean, the celestial voice spoke of a son, and now there's a daughter? No. How can this be? And it's Durga. How can this be? I mean, I thought that celestial voice speak the truth, and now it turns out they don't. Even celestial voice sometimes, you know, speak untruth. That he had not expected. And he apologized. That's why I killed all your children and so on. It was, you know, I believed that voice. I just totally believed it because it was a celestial voice. So I, you know, but now it turns out not to be true. I'm so sorry. I killed all your children. Like this. Kamsa spoke. Mixed. So many, we can see not clear, not one purpose, mixed in his consciousness. One moment he is showing family affection. Because indeed, Kamsa was under the influence of the three modes of material nature and therefore not in control of himself. Prakite kriyamanani guna karmani sarvasa hangra vimudatma kartaham iti manyante. So even although he was ready to kill Devaki, then the next moment he has some sort of perverted form of family affection. You know, and he's pacifying her. I'm so sorry that I did all this, you know, and I mean, because family affection is dictated by the modes of material nature. It is just amazing. As soon as that child comes out of the womb, something changes, you know. And suddenly, one father held his newborn child and said, I don't know why I am ready to completely dedicate myself to this person who I don't even know. Yeah. It is a fact, right? We don't know our family members. If we would actually look at them objectively, they're not just favorable. They're not, you know. It's like, if you really look at it. Sometimes it is said that your enemy from last life takes birth as your son, just to harass you, to give you a hard time, to make you suffer, out of spite, out of envy, become your son. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just showing the intricacies of like how these karmic entanglements take place. But everyone is dictated by the modes of material nature, and so was Kamsa. So Kamsa also went through the motions of, like, some semblance of human affection. Although it was hollowed out by selfishness, hollowed out by Atmendriya Pritivancha, hollowed out by just his own senses being the priority. I and mine had become so overwhelmingly strong that all his so-called family affection was more ritualistic. You know, more external. It didn't go deep into the heart at all, and therefore he was unreliable. He could change any moment. But confusing, because one moment he acts like totally inimical, and the next moment he's so apologetic, and he's just like so, and Devaki believed it because she wanted to, because she was soft-hearted, because by nature she wanted to love and to be loved. being female, that was her nature, to love and to be loved. And therefore, as soon as there was a semblance of like showing some affection, oh yes, oh yes. But Kamsa, his affection was skin deep. Skin deep. For a moment, he expressed it so sincere that you would believe it. And next moment, right? Bang. Demoniac again. Once again. Ready for murder. Right? Ruthless. So very interesting how the psychology is there and how the personality is made up of different aspects and how he goes into these different moods. We also are like that. It's interesting how we have different moods. I'm not much of an astrologer, but once I was in a summer in Vrindavan and everybody left and I was with like the last three men that had remained in Vrindavan. We're talking about astrology all day, from morning to night. So finally I said, okay, I'm going to read a book about astrology. And I got into and it was interesting in the sense that you can see how a person's chart has different components in it, different chart, different planets, that each are different influences. And it depicts a person as being made up out of different influences. And it also shows that like when a person is predominated by one planet, you're dealing with one person, and then later the same person is predominated by another planet and you deal with somebody else. So it sort of shows that a diversity in human nature, and how we can sometimes be devotional and sometimes be demoniac. Krishna, after the Govardhan pastime, went to Govardhan Hill to inspect what damage had been done by Indra's thunderbolt, because Indra, during the 7 days that Krishna upheld Govardhan Hill as an umbrella, Indra was very disturbed. So he battered Govardhan with thunderbolts. You know, and the thunderbolt is serious, so can smash mountains. So Krishna was concerned about Govardhan. So he went to check out what damage had been done to Govardhan. And then Indra was also there. And when Krishna saw him, Indra, you're supposed to be a devotee. How could you act in such a demoniac way that you were ready to kill? I mean, that's what demons do. Indra, you're supposed to be a devotee. How could you come to this point of acting in a demoniac way? He said, like, I was proud. Then Krishna said, yes, but Indra, a devotee is meant to curb pride with intelligence. Then Indra said, I was angry, and therefore I lost my intelligence. Therefore I was not able to curb it. And then Indra also acted in a demoniac way. So it is interesting, like sometimes we look at the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which describes the divine and demoniac qualities. And we can read the first part of the chapter, which is describing the divine qualities, and we can think, that's us. And then we read the second part of the chapter, it's about the demons, and I think, that's the neighbors. Yeah? That's a very easy way to read it. But actually, we can consider how much of Kamsa is there in us. How much of Kamsa is there living in us? And in that way, we can read the Bhagavatam in a more engaged way. You know, not just like, here's the story, Devaki and Kamsa and all that, you know. Look how demoniac Kamsa is. How far can the demons go? But that's not all there's to it. We can also become introspective as we're reading the Bhagavatam. And we can take this and say, how much of Kamsa is alive in me, is there in me? If there was a demoniac side to Indra, then is there no demoniac side to us? That's something to consider. So, for example, although I'm a vegetarian and rather peace-loving, right? When I'm driving in a car, I can change, you know, I can completely change. Especially if I'm driving for a little longer than an hour. After the first hour, I become like part of the machine. And then if some idiot, you know, comes in front of my car, I want a flamethrower and burn him to ashes. Right? Although by nature I'm quite peace-loving and vegetarian and so on, and careful about the ants on the path. But behind the wheel, I turn into a maniac. Really, another side comes out. If I would have a flamethrower there, I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to sometimes just push the button, right? Okay, you know, zap him, you know. So it's interesting how, you know, and we see descriptions in the Bhagavatam of how the living beings are influenced by the three modes of material nature. Prakriti, Kriyamanani, Guna, Karmani, Sarvasa. And these three modes of material nature, they exist in so many combinations. Three, just like colors that can be mixed. And when you mix colors, you take the main colors and you mix them in so many varieties of colors. And mathematically, since it's three, you get certain combination. You go from 3 to 9 to 27 to 81 and multiply further by 3. And in this way, you get so many possible combinations of the modes of material nature. I once saw someone who wrote it out, you know, and said, yes, the possibilities are sattva, 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 rajas, sattva, sattva, tamas. Then we have the possibility of sattva, rajas, sattva, satya, rajas, rajas, sattva, rajas, tamas. And you can go on like that, make all kinds of combinations. You can, for example, say you are tamas, tamas, sattva. Well, you know, then through a thick fog of ignorance, of laziness, of sloppiness, of bad habits, etc., there are some few rays of sunshine of sattva guna, of knowledge, you know, appearing. I shouldn't do this. I actually, you know, like that. Sort of a tamas, tamas, sattva. You can imagine a rajas sattva, sattva, that the person by nature is inclined to its sense gratification. But then his conscience immediately kicks in and says, no, this is not proper. This is not proper. You can have a case where someone is in goodness, in sattva, but there is rajas, rajas. So he is in goodness, but at the same time, very much tempted by passion. So there is an inner battle. So the inner battle is indeed something we can keep in mind. I was on a German airport in a German bookstore, and I saw a book on the shelf called The Inner Schweinhund. Right. Which, you know, it attracted me, I must say. I immediately took it off the shelf and started reading it in the store, you know, The Inner Schweinhund, right? And it's true. There is that inner animal, that animal that we hide, that animal that lives behind our saintly expression that we keep on our face, you know. There is that animal. And we have chained him up in regulative principles by Prabhupada's mercy. But he wants to break loose. He does. And he's pushing, or she, right? He/she, to be. These days you have to be correct and speak in gender correctness about he/she. So in this case, I'll definitely do that. I'll be correct. That inner animal and beast within us, he/she, wants to break loose and waits for opportunities. So this theme, I like this theme, and I found it somewhere in a magazine. Some writer, some lady writer, she picked up on it, and she had this bag of special chips, you know what I mean? Like, and she was like, you know, sort of really lusting over the chips, right, in her mind for a long time, and then just like waiting for an opportunity to sort of like get into it and stuff them in the mouth, you know. So just when no one was there, she attacked, you know, rip it open and just like pack it in. And then someone came in. And she stood there like, now we can easily translate that into a Mangalartic suite, you know, which is court, right? Just as you're secretly stuffing your face, court, right? As secretly you, for a moment, you give some room to the lusty desires, taking shelter of prasadam, very good, you know. But still, so it's good we take shelter of prasadam, but we feel embarrassed, you know, when we just get caught, like, with our mouth full, try to inconspicuously swallow it, as if we didn't, as if everybody doesn't know what you are doing, since everybody else does it too. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make with that is it shows, you know, that we are indeed a combination of the modes of material nature, and that indeed all these pushings are within us, right? And that we're controlling them in a, you know, in a nice, set of behavior, right? We say the right words, you know, Haribo, you know, nectar, you know, and so on, bliss, whatever words are there in the jargon, we say them, and we dress in a certain way, and, you know, we fold our hands nicely when they are meant to be folded, slightly tilting to one side. To make it a little nonchalant. We are expert in projecting an image, but internally it's still raging. There is still a volcano. There is still so many influences pulling in so many directions. And therefore, there is still a little bit of Kamsa in us, still a little bit of Putana, still a little bit of all these demoniac personalities. And of course, in the Chaitanya Siksamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is analyzing all the demons as being, as representing a particular anarta, a particular psychological state of contamination. So you can see my explanation has also support from what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained. I'm thinking like that, you know, like when we are reading the Bhagavatam or speaking on the Bhagavatam, I'm not thinking I'm going to give a lecture. I'm just more contemplating what is being said here, what is happening here, and we just meditated on Kamsa today and how he's mixed up, an interesting mix. Of course, his mix is very on the demoniac side. Indra was also mixed, more on the devotional side, but still mixed. And now, we are also mixed up. And that's the point I wanted to draw out of this particular description so that we can think about that and make the change. How to make the change? In two ways. Anartapasamam saksat bhakti yoga madoksaje, by taking shelter of the process of devotional service again and again, by really chanting Hare Krishna, by making something out of Ekadasi, right? Since it's Ekadasi, it's an opportunity, by in that way taking shelter, and then by making the secondary point is by making a conscious effort to rise above the demoniac tendencies, to have a sense of regret about them, and to actually try and develop some good qualities. So in this way, we can make an attempt. But first I wanted to create some awareness. So the thrust of my lecture was on creating awareness that maybe we're not just completely devotional in every fiber of our existence as yet. You know, maybe there is a bit of turbulence, internal turbulence, and therefore we need shelter all the time. Shelter all the time. Not so much like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also saying. He said when we are in a war with Maya. He said when we are in a war, the problem is not only that the army of the enemy is what we are facing on the other side. He said it's worse. What is really happening is that there's infiltration in our own ranks. There are spies. It's that in the same way, Maya is not only without, Maya is within. Maya is within. That is, and she knows. She knows your hidden desires. That what you would not admit to anyone. That what nobody knows, Maya knows. And she'll take advantage of it. And that's her prakshepmika shakti, the throwing potency. She'll bounce opportunities under our nose like a ball. Oh my God. Oh no. Oh no, no. Please take it away. No, not this. I've wanted this my whole life. I never got it. And now that I've renounced these things, now it comes. No, not now. Not now. No. No, no, no. Now I've renounced it all. No, not now. Oh, please. How can I let this go? I'll never forgive myself. Oh, well. I guess, be in Maya for a moment and, you know, be Krishna conscious later. It is, so sweet, so nice. Then, whang! Ah! Oh! Oh! Maya Durga Devi seated on a tiger has in many weapons in her hand, and one is a trident. The trident of the threefold misery, Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidaivika Klesh, suffering from body and mind, suffering from other living beings, suffering from natural circumstances. And just when we are embracing, oh gosh, I had enough. No, really, poor. No more for me. No, I'm done. I'm done with sense gratification. No, I don't want it anymore. But time goes, and then the next time, there is the same opportunity again. Tum, tum, no, tum, tum, go away, tum, tum. I don't want you with your, you know, bouncing this opportunity under my nose. No, not interested. Tum, 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 God, it does look good, doesn't it? Tum, tum, tum. But that trident, boy, was it painful. No. It was painful. It was. But it was only short. It was intense, but it was short. Right? And God, does it look good? Okay. Oh, I'll take it then. Okay, come on. Stab me with this trident. Okay, it hurts, yes. I'll tolerate. Yes. Oh, gosh. The illusory energy is so sweet. Avaranatmika Shakti, the covering potency of Maya. In this way, fooled again, by these lower aspects in our nature, which are still there. Therefore, we are at risk. We're in a precarious condition. We need constant shelter. Therefore, Kirtaniya Sadahari, always chant. Always chant, non-stop. Always glorify the Lord, non-stop. Always look for shelter, look for mercy. Somehow or other, connect. Early in the morning, rub the sleep from our eyes. Shower, connect. Straight away, offer obeisances to one's worshipable deity. Begin to recite prayers, it says in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Immediately, drive out ignorance. Very active. So it's a little difficult for when you are in tamas rajas. You know, it's a little difficult to become active because laziness is our tendency. Do I really have to lift my hand and put it in this bead bag all the way? There was one devotee in the ashram, and eventually we found out he did have a bead bag, but there were no beads inside. We found eventually. So we have to make a conscious effort to shake off whatever remnants of lower nature are there. Just shake them off again and again. That is what I draw from this verse. That will be like my meditation for the day. So thank you with that. Any questions, any comments?